There's always lots of moving pieces.
There is.
See,
I don't preach that often, but when I do, Jeff regrets it.
You know, the
clothes I wear, am I going in and out? Am I okay? See, I don't have my hearing aids on, so I can't tell. I don't preach very often, and so what happens is there's always a lot of moving pieces because God puts a lot on my heart. And actually, believe it or not, I constantly am getting ideas, and if you look at my phone, I've got files of ideas that I sort of maintain until I actually, God moves me to preach a sermon. Woo, lots of moving pieces. A lot has happened this morning. It just seems like if something could go wrong this morning, it did. The printer didn't work. The pantry door was locked. We ran out of time this morning. I mean, it just, but you know what? It is a day that God has made. Yes, it is. So, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. And during the family moment, somebody said falling in love with life journey. Did I hear that this morning? Falling in love. So do you remember when you fell in love with God? When you fell in love with Jesus? We heard and we said, yes. We were excited. We volunteered for everything. We were at church 24/7, taking classes that were offered. Well, maybe not everything, but we were learning about God's love and grace, and we were excited. And then over time, the love grows a little stale. That burst is over. It gets a little musty. We lose interest. And a lot of people have actually lost interest lately, and that's a la COVID. And then we're singing that Tina Turner song. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? Aren't we? We kind of walk away? So when we're not loving God or we're not connecting with God, what happens? How are we connecting with other people? How are we treating other people? What does that look like? Falling back in love with God. That is what we're going to be talking about today. And I'd like to open up in prayer and ask Pastor Vivian to come up. You can come up and let us pray. God, when we learn about you and we hear Jesus' words about love and forgiveness and salvation, we get all excited. But then as time goes on, it seems to drop off. God, help us maintain our excitement, our love. Help us to fall in love again with you. And God, I pray that everyone can take a little piece of something away today that will help them be one step closer in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now for our retro question for the day. Do you know what this is? Do you know what that is?
They're too young.
Huh?
They're too young.
They're too young. No. Oh, my goodness, no. That is the single 45 and maxi single vinyl cover to Fleetwood Mac's Everywhere. 1988. is when it was out. But now look at it. Now the song, it's a love song, but look at that. What does it look like? What does that look like? Doesn't it look like that the girl there is like praising God, wanting to be with God? Isn't that what that looks like? I mean, this is a Fleetwood Mac song. That's why I love just listening to just, you know, every kind of music, because I get something spiritual out of everything. It's a love song, but finding spiritual meaning to me is really important when I'm listening to music. God is all around, everywhere. Isn't that where God is? Everywhere. And so think back about your relationship with God. Think back. Are you as excited as you were? Is God everywhere the way God was at one time? Do we get busy with other things? So do you remember Wayne's World? Do you remember Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they would go back in time and they would do this? Well, that actually has a little bit of meaning in the song, and we are going to sing Everywhere. And we're going to think about this song as singing to God. So remember that. And so I want everybody to rise. Everybody rise. You'll remember the song. The song is in commercials right now, like Kohl's Everywhere, and then GM Everywhere Driving. You know, the and it's on the charts right now too, just because it's in all these commercials. And so we are going to have some fun. I want you to get up. I want you to dance, because remember, we are falling in love with God again this morning.
Connecting to David Zeifeld. David Zeifeld. Connected.
You've fallen out your name. You know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say. Speak a little louder, I'd even shout. You know that I'm proud and I can't get the words out. Ooh, I want to be with you everywhere. Ooh, I want to be with you everywhere. Something's happening to me. My friends say I'm acting peculiarly. Come on, baby, we better make a start. You better make a move before you break my heart. Ooh, I wanna be with you everywhere. Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say. Come along, baby, we better make this start. You better make it soon before you break my heart. Ooh, oh, I will be with you everywhere. Ooh, oh, I will be with you everywhere. Thank you.
cut it off. Wasn't that fun? Now do you now? I mean, isn't that a really spiritual song? So in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says to the disciples, "I am always with you." I mean, those are Jesus' words. Jesus is saying that not just to the disciples there in the upper room, but Jesus is saying that to us too. That is part of the resurrection story. So why is this so significant? Well, Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit will be with us, but think about it. Jesus wants to be with us everywhere. Now, when we tell somebody we want to be with them everywhere, what does that sound like? Okay, one less step than stalking. Well, I remember when Jeff and I were dating, I wanted to be with Jeff all the time, and I wasn't stalking him. I mean, that wasn't possible, but it doesn't stop the feeling. And so, you know, we did little things, and so one of those things would be Jeff lived further out in Boyd's, and he would take a commuter train into work. And it just so happened that that commuter train went by my building when I worked at FDA in Silver Spring. So I would drive out to Boyd's and get on the train with Jeff. Now, Jeff would have a trench coat with him or something with him typically, and so he would sort of flop that over the seat and we would hold hands under it. Now, this is 1988 on public transportation. And the thing is, we both looked forward to it. It was sort of our touch point, our little symbol. But again, you want to be with somebody everywhere when you're falling in love with them. And so think about yourself. When you have fallen in love, and maybe some of you haven't, but when you fall in love, I mean, didn't you want to be around that person all the time? And of course, we fall out of love, don't we? But when we're in it, we're so excited. We're so excited. That's like in ministry. We pour ourselves out. We pour ourselves out. So everybody here saw the hand gestures that Vivian and I were doing during the song. Now, that is a Christian body prayer performed by Julian of Norwich, and I'll explain the gestures later, but I want to talk about Julian specifically. So Julian lived in the 14th century. She settled into the monastic life. She was married, and she had a baby. She frequently refers to Jesus and his suffering, and that she expresses how she wants to suffer with God. And one of the most famous things that she wrote is how she refers to Jesus as a mother. Now remember, this is the 14th century. Julian flat out says that Jesus is our mother. Our own mothers gave us birth, and they gave us birth into a life of pain and eventual death. But our mother, Jesus, gave us birth into a life that is endless, without death, and into a life of bliss. Now, Julian had visions, which she wrote down, and they were later published and called Revelations. And in these writings, Julian describes how in her 30th year of her life, she lay dying. It was a tough time. Bubonic plague was ravaging civilization. She had most of her friends succumb to it. It went through her community not just once, but twice, and she lost her husband and baby. She was paralyzed for a time, and she was ready to die. And she was ready. I mean, she was, "I'm suffering, God, and I want to be with you forever." She thought it was her time. But that didn't happen. At this point, this is where she experienced those visions that I mentioned before, those revelations, which she believed were from God. She tells us that this occurred in May of 1373, which gives her a birth date in 1342. So even as the world was falling apart around her, just imagine if we were alive during the bubonic plague, what that would be like. No health care, no cures. But she was still aware of the presence of God, and it filled her with joy and desire and hope and love. I read about her in seminary and my spiritual direction internship program. And when I look at the time she lived and what she experienced, I look to God and say, "Wow." And I think to myself, geez, I would just pray to be like her. God, I pray that seeking wisdom from Julian's ways may make your presence in my daily life more conscious, more vibrant, so that I can be more responsive to your love and grace and blessings and opportunities that you offer each moment of the day. I wish I could be like that. The phrase that worked in Julian's life, as written in her writings, is this: "This is truly the maker, the lover, the carer, for until I become one substance with him, her, I can never have love, rest, or true bliss. That is to say, until I am so bound to him, her, that there may be no created thing between my God and me." I mean, doesn't that sound like a love story? Doesn't that sound like falling in love? When I read Julian's statement, it brings me to 1 John 4:16 of today's reading. "God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." And the key word is abide, because that's what Julian was describing, abiding in God. And then John 15:5 also uses that word abide. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, the Greek word abide is meno, and meno is the root of the Greek noun mon, which means mansion or habitation. You know, meno describes something that endures. Take up permanent residence, or to make yourself at home. Remember, Jesus knocked on the door, wants to come in and eat with us. And then in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word for abide, and that is yashab. And this includes concepts of interpersonal relationships and about being in shared space. And that includes habitation, keeping house together, and being married. Now, isn't this sounding more and more intimate when we abide in Christ? Can you imagine having a love affair with God or marrying Jesus? I'm talking metaphorically, spiritually. Can you imagine that? In Jesus' day, when he was present, to abide with Jesus was to spend quality time with Jesus. And typically it was considered an entire day and night. And there are some biblical scholars that describe Zacchaeus's time with Jesus in Luke 19 as abiding with Jesus. Now, this is from the story of the crooked tax collector who paid back people he cheated and found, and Jesus said, this home has found salvation. And so Zacchaeus abided with Jesus. So spending quality time with Jesus is all day and night, that event when he was here physically on earth. So are you ready for that? Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Yes. But Jesus does tell us one vital instruction. When responding to the disciples, when they asked, how do we pray? How do we pray? He says in Matthew, Matthew 6:6, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to God in secret. And God who sees in secret will repay you. Now, this is taken from the Berean Standard Bible. It's a modern English in translation. Most Bibles do not include the word inner, but it emphasizes the spiritual nature of this passage. Jesus was addressing the disciples' question about how to pray, and not praying in public and sort of being a little showy to other people, like, look how religious I can be. But I also think that Jesus is conveying to just go to your room and shut the door, because finding that quiet place is the only place that will be effective for you to have that relationship with God that you can grow in. Go off by yourself where you have the physical and spiritual room where you can spend time with Jesus. That is part of abiding, spending quality time with Jesus. And it's not just about talking or making a laundry list. This is being very intimate, being vulnerable, sharing all that you are, listening, reflecting, becoming more self-aware, and even learning to love yourself and others better. Shut the door in secret. Well, you know, my prayer list, you know, praying for someone to heal, well, that doesn't really require me to go to my room and shut the door. So why would Jesus tell you to do that? Why would Jesus tell you to do that? Ask God, how can I love myself better? Can you hear yourself asking that question during prayer? If you find it hard, or find it hard to pray or take time to pray, why not ask God in prayer? Why do I not take time to pray? Help me. What is it? Am I afraid? Am I wondering when or where or how to? Are there other things I worship more so I don't want to take up the time? Just take that to prayer. If you're struggling, that is what you take to prayer. And if you're wondering, well, what do I pray for? Well, God, I don't know what to pray for. What should I pray for? And let God speak and be silent. That abiding has something to do with it. You know, think of abiding as an interwoven process of three things we work toward. There are several lists out there, and I sort of did a lot of readings, and this is David's list that he compiled based on lots of commentaries and things. Just three to make it easier. Continuance, connection, and dependence. Now, continuance, you know, this is not certain days of the week or certain hours of the day. This is about choosing to be nice to this person, but not choosing to be nasty to somebody else. But it's continuous all the time, not perfection, but working toward it. And it's okay. It is okay to have reminders. Now, I get, you know, and I'm not saying, look how great I am, because I need these. Like, when I go to work, I have a palm cross, I've got a standing cross, I've got a church above my computer. At my desk at home, I've got little things. I try to carry one of my palm crosses. I give these out in discipleship. I've got my prayer beads. I give these out to people for spiritual direction. It helps me to remember, because it's easy to forget. And I also program my phone. Just put times on your phone. Those little reminders, have a bell go off. But life does throw us distractions. So how do I create that foundation of continuance? And that's why connection is so important. Connection helps us with continuance. If I am not intentional about how I connect, then how can I work on continuance? Doesn't that make sense? But it's also about dependence. We're dependent on God. I'm dependent on Jesus. I derive my life and how I live from God. If I'm depending on God, I need to work on my connection with God. And as my connection strengthens, that continuance increases. It's all about falling in love with God. And there you have it. That is abiding in Jesus. The Believer's Bible Commentary puts it this way: abiding is the secret of a successful prayer life. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we will learn to think his thoughts. The more we get to know God through the Word, the more we will understand God's will. The more our will agrees with God's. Now, here's an example. Instead of praying, God, I want to know your will for my life, pray this instead: God, please make my will your will.
David's iPhone is connected.
Yes, we know. Oh, no, disconnected from God. No. So when you say, God, I want to know your will for my life, it's sort of some like esoteric prayer that we're sort of throwing out there somewhere. But if we say, God, please make my will your will, and we pray on that, then all we have to do is, okay, this is what God is laying on my heart. It's not out there somewhere. God is changing me. God is changing me. I mean, if God is telling you to go out and, you know, get one of those automatic rifles, you know that's not from God. You'll know what's from God. But pray, God, make my will your will. And what is your heart saying? Make that your prayer. Does that make sense? So continuance. So we sung about it earlier. Everywhere. We want to be with you everywhere. God wants to be with us everywhere. So I introduced you to Julian of Norwich earlier. We talked about abiding, this continuance of God everywhere we go. So how did Julian do this? So let me show you. Oops. here is Julian. Now, let me sort of transpose this. And love is the only meaning in life. That was one of her catchphrases that she lived her life by. If you look at this here, now, doesn't it look like Fleetwood Mac used Julian as the model for the girl that's, I mean, doesn't, you know, even though she's got that, you know, whatever that thing is, looks like the hair. I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. I guess you don't. Now, this is like the order of the church that Julian started. Now, you can imagine a woman in the 1300s doing this and saying the things she said. What do you think the men were doing? She was not well-liked by a lot of the, I guess you could say, the religious men at the time. Everything's jumping around. So this was the church that bore Julian's name. But this was during and after she went through that difficult time. And then she lost her family during this time. During that plague, when she lost her husband and baby, what would you feel like if you lost your partner and baby? What would that feel like to you? She also got deathly ill, and she was paralyzed for a period of time. And amidst all that, what does she say? All will be well. All will be well. Reverend Joan Wright Howe puts it this way: how can we live well when so many suffer? 14th century mystic Julian of Norwich offers a radical optimism amidst the ravages of the plague. She said and wrote, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well." Living in the life of God fosters a sense of wellness in all things. This sense of wellness in knowing God provides a foundation for actions that transform the world. Repeat after me: all will be well.
All will be well.
And all will be well.
And all will be well.
And all manner of things.
Will be well.
Abiding in God. Can you do that? So I want to invite Pastor Bambi up here with me. And I want you to close your eyes and just listen while Pastor Bambi comes up. This is truly the maker, the lover, the carer, for until I become one substance with God, I can never have love, rest, or true bliss. That is to say, until I am so bound to God that there may be no created thing between my God and me. You can open your eyes. We have become so intertwined with God, abiding in God everywhere. So how can I not love God and then not love others? When we are abiding, God's love has a hold of us. God's love has a hold of us. Now, have you ever heard of the song, "Got a Hold on Me"? Christine McVie, she actually wrote the other song too, "Everywhere." So why don't we stand up, because God's got a hold of us. So let's sing about God having hold of us.
Thank you.
You're lifting me up. Never let me down. And I smile.
Down, he said.
So now remember I told you it was a tough morning? That was the first time we did it. That's why getting started was a little hard, but once we got going, it was great. It was great. But talk about being nervous. I was thinking of that part of the sermon all the way through. So here are some things to consider that will help us in our connection to abide, and you will see Jillian's positive attitude in that. But I want to stress, it is not up to me to tell you what's going to help you become more connected to God. You need to figure that out for yourself. We're all wired differently. God speaks to us differently. We have different gifts. And so remember that. Don't think, well, I was taught this when I was a kid, how to pray, and it's boring. Well, then, do something else. Look at some of these things here. So, oh no, I can't see the... Oh, you know what? I didn't turn it on. There it is. Good times. These are the good times. Our new state of mind. Now, wouldn't that be a great attitude to have when you go be still and know when you pray that it's a great time? Wouldn't it? Instead of saying, oh, it's prayer time. It's like, oh my gosh, I get to spend time with God. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. That's Miss Gigi, if you didn't recognize her. Now, the thing is that, you know, nature, pets, beauty, people, babies, creation, take advantage of what God has given us. If you're somebody who likes to be outside, loves sights, loves animals, you know, even like sitting with your dog and petting your dog and dwelling on God, if that's what works for you, lyric, if that's what works for you, then do it. A lovely day, 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 right? Oh, now we got Miss Pee-Pee. Now we have Miss Pee-Pee. Now the thing is that we always compartmentalize. It's like my spiritual life and prayer at church is over here, and then the rest of my life is over here. But what about your playtime? Remember, we're talking about everywhere. We're talking about continuance. So look at this. Oh, born to be wild. Well, so think about it. So when you are playing, when you're having fun, doesn't it make sense to bring God with you? And actually, you know what? Maybe some of the things we do, we might do differently. Just saying. Just saying. Now, this is sitting at work. It's the cross with the heart, falling in love with God here. And we'll always love you. So even you know, having something with a heart will remind you about, you know, loving Jesus, falling in love with God. That's the way it needs to be for me. Now, of course, we have family that we love and people that may not be blood relatives but are our family that we can be with and be around. You know, God is present there too. We bring God into those relationships. And here is, cherish the love you're always giving me here by my side. It's a Madonna song. Boo, 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 boo. Anyway. So see, you can bring Madonna into your prayer. What would Madonna say? Now, this picture is in my office. Now, on Facebook, a friend of mine from back in elementary school, she kind of doodles and puts things on Facebook. And I said, wow, you know, I'm redoing my office right now, and that looks like it would match really, really good. I love that. And she mailed it to me. And it's hanging in my room. Now, I bring that because you might have art in your house or somewhere. There are religious icons that are have been popular over the years, but any art can be used. And maybe that's what you enjoy. You enjoy going to the art museum. Why not use that to spend time with God? Look into a painting and it's like, what do you see? What beauty do you see? Or what message does it give you? Just think about that. Continuance, dependence, connection. Oh, this is an Ellie Goulding song that I didn't know. It's called The Writer. No, this one I know. Oh, shoot. Oh, well, I forget. I saw God today. The words went by too fast. Oh, well, but still, I saw God today. It's a great song because you see God everywhere. And so why not use that to be in continuance, connection, dependence? And then, of course, don't forget the blessings that we have. Isn't this what a crazy world. I mean, just when I thought the had passed, you go and save the best for last. So don't forget your blessings and dwelling on those. And see how I use the music? You know, a lot of times when you're in church, what's your favorite song? Everybody's got to have a spiritual song they have to say. Well, all those songs, you know, every song that I did in my sermon today are spiritual songs, but you're not going to find them in a hymn book or sung in a big church. Well, except for here. No. And so those are some ideas. And so now the body prayer that that I was doing earlier. Now, do you have your handouts? You know, look at your handouts. And I had a, I forgot one more. And this is doodling, writing, reading the Bible. And I even having a brain fart on the song too. Why don't you be the writer and decide the words I say? Oh, it's a Chris Rice song. That's right. That is a spiritual song, contemporary Christian song. So, the body prayer. So this means await. Cup your hands. You're awaiting God's presence, however it may come to you. And then allow. Allow is reach up, reaching up your hands, reaching up your hands. Accept is on your heart. And then attend is when we're stretching out our hands. So it's await, allow, accept, attend. And in the handout, I took today's scripture and how you can use it with those words today. So if you feel called, take that home. Try the motions with the words or your own words. I learned about body prayer when I was in seminary, and I've done it ever since. I've got lots of books. But if you like physical motion and you like to mix things up, it might be a way for you connecting to God instead of just sitting there. So try it out. Everybody, try it out. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall back in love with God. And it needs to be again and again. You know, be in the business of loving yourself, God, and others better. Oh, I want to be with you everywhere. Yeah, I got a love. I got somebody. This love's got a hold on me. Amen.